ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32 as we're continuing our study through the Word of God. And last time we entered our study in Genesis 32, verse 21, and remember, Jacob is on his way home. He's spent 20 years with his uncle Laban. He fled there to Haran because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. But now God was stirring his heart and calling for Jacob to come home. And the Lord spoke to Jacob and said to him in Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So Jacob and his family leave Haran, but he's now concerned about his brother Esau. Esau wanted to kill him, right? And so he's wondering, is he still mad at me? And he doesn't know. I mean, he's traveling with all his wives, his children, his servants, his livestock. Easy prey for Esau to come and attack him. It's hard to run with all those people and livestock and stuff. So what he does is he sends his servants on ahead to check things out. And they said, hey, Jacob, Esau's coming. He's got 400 men with him. Oh, no. In his mind, he's thinking, they're coming to kill me. And so he's fearful. Keep in mind, Jacob, his name means schemer, deceiver, and that's what he's trying to do here with his brother. He's trying to please Esau, deceive him, giving him lots of gifts. Why? So he doesn't kill him. And we're told in Genesis 32, starting in the last part of verse 13, what he does. He took what came to his hand as a present for Esau's brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. So he's got these five herds that are going to be sent out with the distance in between them, and they're going to be presented as gifts to Esau from his brother Jacob. Now, here's the thing. Is Jacob trusting God? No, he's not. If he did, he would have been in front to meet Esau and not send these gifts on ahead. This is more than a carnal attempt to save his life, and God doesn't need our help. And we concluded last time with these words in verse 21 of Genesis 32. So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. You know, here's the thing, and I found this in my own life, you've probably experienced this. If you're not resting in the Lord, if you're not trusting him, you're going to be anxious, fearful, worried, and you're going to wrestle with yourself to get some rest, some sleep, but it's going to be difficult. And that's what we're going to see with Jacob this evening. Look at Genesis 32, we're going to pick up in verse 22, where we're told this. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Think about all that's on this guy's mind. There's a lot. Esau's coming with him, towards him with 400 men. Jacob has his 11 sons and one daughter, and they were young. The oldest maybe being 13, the youngest maybe 6. And all of this is on his mind. And, you know, maybe the kids were getting on his nerves, you know, all those kids, I don't know. And he's got all this stuff going on. Maybe his wives, you know, hey, honey, you need to fix the tent over here. This needs to be taken care of. He's like, come on, give me a break. I've got to deal with this whole thing with Esau. So he separates himself by placing them on the other side of the river. He remained on the east side of the river all alone for the night. And the Lord is going to get his attention. It's interesting because the name Jabbok means he will empty. And I think Jacob was filled with himself. And the Lord is going to have to empty him of self so he can be filled with God. And that's what we're going to see. Look at verse 24 here in Genesis 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob's all alone. We're told there's a man who wrestled with him. Who is this man? Well, I think it's the Old Testament appearance of Jesus. But here's the problem with that. If this man is Jesus, how in the world could Jacob fight all night? And it seems to be evenly matched here. Well, we have to understand Jesus could have ended it at any time. Then why did he let it go on? Because he was waiting for Jacob to come to the end of himself. You know, it's kind of like, go ahead, keep going, keep going. And when you get tired and when you don't have any strength left, then we'll talk. You know, the Hebrew word for wrestled means to get dusty. And that's what Jacob had to be. Wrestled down to the ground, you might say, by the Lord, so the Lord could lift him up. He had to come to the end of himself. But like many, he refused to give in. And so what does the Lord do? He touches the hip of his socket, and he's crippled. He's got a limp now. Why did God do that? Well, Jacob can't run anymore. He's going to have to trust in the Lord. He can't scheme and lie to solve things on his own. And don't we do the same thing with God as Jacob did? We wrestle, Lord, I want this, I want that. And we're fighting. God says, go for it. And when you get tired and when you're ready to look up, we'll talk. Boyce makes this interesting comment. He wrote, how did Jacob ever manage to keep up his struggle throughout the entire night? I do not know, but I do know that his determination to hang in there was no greater than our frequent determination to have our own way and eventually win out over God. You know, really think about it. Can we fight against God and win? And if we could win, we would lose because God has what's best for our lives. We think we know what's best, right? I mean, we've all been there. Oh, this would be perfect. This would be great. God says, no. Isaiah 45:9, woe to him who strives with his maker. That's what Jacob was doing, striving with his maker. And he needed to surrender. Look at verse 26 here in Genesis 32. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, you kind of get the picture that Jacob is holding on to Jesus. And almost like Jacob's in control and refuses to let go until God blesses him. And that's how some people teach this, that you have to wrestle with God and fight with him until he blesses you. You know, you keep fighting and fighting. Eventually, God will give in. Really? I don't think that's the way to go. Remember what Isaiah said, woe to him who strives with his maker. Jacob wasn't in control. Now, if this is all we had, it would be difficult to come to that conclusion. But in Hosea 12, verses 3 through 5, we see that he wasn't the one in control. Hosea gives us an overview of this, the life of Jacob here. He said, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. That's what's going on here. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is, the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. In other words, Jacob is in tears. He can't go on anymore. He's at the end of his ropes, and he's in this broken state where he is now surrendering his life to God and saying, Lord, bless me on this journey. I can't do it without you. In fact, it's God answering the prayer of Jacob back in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12. But before God could deliver Jacob from the hand of his brother, he had to be broken of his self-will, his self-reliance. And that's so true in our own lives. You know, we look outward at the enemy when in reality, you know where the biggest enemy is? It's us. It's our own lives. And we have to surrender to God. Now, I know some Christians that believe that we all suffer from low self-esteem. I always go, you know, give me a book in the Bible, a chapter in the Bible, and a verse in the Bible where it talks about we have low self-esteem. Because I will show you many, many verses that say we have to die to self because we have too much self-esteem. We think too highly of ourselves. There's the problem. And so God breaks us of self. Why? So we can rest in Him. Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." That's how we're to look at ourselves, not exalting ourselves, but exalting the Lord. Think about it. All that we are able to do is because of Him. Once we think, hey, you know what? God really needs me. Look out. Don't stand too close to me if you feel that way. Because God will deal with that. Just like He's dealing with Jacob here. Look at verse 27. "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there." You know, remember some 20 years earlier when Isaac asked Jacob, "Who are you?" Isaac's eyesight was dim. And he said, "Oh, I'm Esau, your son." He lied to him. Well, he's not lying anymore. He's saying, "I'm Jacob." And he saw himself as he really is. And the interesting thing is the Lord changes his name. No longer Jacob, heel catcher, conniver, schemer, but Israel, governed by God, or God rules. Huge difference. The first one is self-centered. The other is God-centered. And for years, Jacob struggled with God and with men, and he did prevail. He got his own way. But God's breaking him of that. And it's interesting, the Lord doesn't praise Jacob because that was the problem. He humbled him. And, you know, even back, remember when he was on the run at first and he was in Bethel and had that encounter with God? And he basically told God, "Hey, look, God, I'll serve you as long as you do this, do this, do this." Well, there was no humility there. There was no surrender. "God, I'm going to serve you if you do these things. But if you don't do these things, forget about it." But now he's broken of that self-will, that self-effort, and he's filled with God. And in each of us, we still have to deal with the flesh. That old man, that old nature is still there, and it rises up. Every single morning when we get up, guess what gets up with us? Our flesh. We get out of bed and we have to start the day and we have to deal with these issues in our lives. And it's interesting when you look at, when you're going through the rest of the story here in Genesis, notice when he's called Jacob and notice when he's called Israel. When he's called Jacob, he's walking in the flesh. When he's called Israel, he's walking in the spirit. In fact, he's called 45 times Jacob and only 23 times Israel. Isn't that what we have to deal with? There are times, yes, we're walking with God, everything's great, and there are other times we're not walking. Just like Jacob. We have to put that flesh nature to death. Paul said in Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't go back to those old things. And Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24 said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.'" The more time you spend with God, the more time you fill yourself up with the things of God, the more that nature will flow from you. Whatever you feed your body is going to be manifested. You know, if I, in your life, if I went to McDonald's three times a day for the next 6 months, my body would reflect what I was eating. But if I'm eating healthy, my body would then reflect that. And the same is true here. What are you feeding on? What are you filling your life with? You know, Paul in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 17 picks up on this. He says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. So here's the thing. We've got to put these things off. It's a battle. We're struggling. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all your wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, Christ-centered, not self-centered. And we talked about this on Sundays. We were looking in John and talking about loving the brethren. Well, this Sunday is going to be just as hard because Jesus is going to talk about, hey, the world hated me. Don't think the world's going to love you. They're going to hate you like they hated me. You got to love them. Oh, come on. No, it's not come on. It's put on the new man and put off the old man. So when you get up in the morning, don't put dirty clothes on. Put on the clean clothes of Christ. Fill yourself up with the things of God. For Jacob, you know how he won when he recognized that he lost? I can't do it anymore. And that's so true for us. We have to realize we can't win until we surrender. We're strong through weakness. Now, it's also interesting here. Jacob says, what is your name? And what does the Lord say to him? Why is it that you ask about my name? And he blesses him there. Why didn't he answer him, right? Why didn't he say what his name was? Because he already told him. And the Lord doesn't change, does he? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew his name. And the Lord just doesn't even acknowledge that here. Well, look at verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Peniel means face of God. So he not only saw the face of God and wrestled with God and won by losing, but he surrendered his life to him. And so here's this limp now, which is a constant reminder to Jacob that when he is weak, he is strong, that he needs to surrender. He can't run anymore. You know, that's what Paul reminds us of in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10, where the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. That's where Jacob was at, and that's where we need to be. Weak in the flesh, strong in the Lord. I told you before, when I first got diabetes, it was 34 years ago. I mean, I was a healthy guy. And a young guy back then, too. both things I've missed here. But man, it was devastating to me because I was a nurse. I saw all the problems with diabetes, people losing toes and feet and legs and losing their eyesight and all the different things that go along with diabetes. And it was bad. Kidney failure. Oh my gosh, no. And so here I am in this hospital and trying to get my sugars down. And it was late at night and I was just walking the halls and they had this big exercise room on the floor that I was on. And we were pretty high up on the, in the hospital. And they had all these glass windows from almost floor to ceiling. And there was this huge storm outside. Lightning was flashing. The rain was just beating down. Big thunder. And I was just crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this. How am I going to be able, you called me to be a pastor in Wisconsin. How is that going to even happen now? All these things. How is this going to happen? I'm just crying out to God. No one else was around. It was me and the Lord. And he said what he said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And I knew that what God had promised he was going to be able to bring to pass, no matter what I have. And he did. I had to die to self. Because I was the kind of guy that thought, you know, I'll be 90 years old and running around and not have a problem. And God said, you know what? You're a little too strong on your own. You need to rest in me. You need to trust in me every single day. And I do. So as great as this encounter was for Jacob, right? Saw the face of God, wrestled with God, and he still lives. Look what happens now in chapter 33. Look at verse 1. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming with him with 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. So he's preparing to meet Esau. He sees him coming, 400 guys, that's a lot of people coming. And he puts the maidservant and their children first, then Leah and her children, and then Rachel and Joseph. Why? Because he really loved Rachel. And he figures, at least we'll get a little, you know, maybe the maidservants and the children will get it, right? Maybe Leah will get it and her children. And by then, maybe Rachel and Joseph will be able to flee. Wow, what a guy, right? What happened to the faith? You know, but isn't that us? You know, we're doing good, we're doing good. And then all of a sudden, Lord, what's happening? We're going to die. I got to do this. You know, and he's coming up with this plan. What is he called here in verse 1 of Genesis 33? Jacob. Heel catcher. Schemer. Conniver. Not Israel, not governed by God. Why? Because this is his plan. These are his ideas. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to put the maidservants, Leah, Rachel, you're way behind. Okay? We don't want anything to happen to you. Well, look at verse 3. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. You know, all that's taken place before he has this encounter with Esau, remember all the 5 gifts that he sent on ahead? Now he's bowing before him, showing that he was submitted to his brother. What was the problem with that? Well, remember what the Lord said to Rebekah before they were even born, that the older will serve the younger. But Jacob is denying what God has already done. And he's bowing before Esau. You know, it's like Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. If Jacob didn't try to steal the blessing, the birthright, in the first place, this would have never happened. 20 years ago, he wouldn't have had to run away because God already gave him those things. He didn't have to steal them away. They were already his. But he tried to help God out. Now for 20 years, he's gone from his family. He's never going to see his mom again because his mom died before he returns home. We got to just be careful and stay out of the way of God because we can really mess things up. And I think that's what happened here. Look at verse 4 here in Genesis 33. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" And he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants came near, they and their children bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.